Hey, listeners, we have with us today Maestro Giancarlo Guerrero. And I am super excited about this podcast because, as you guys know, I've been on a hiatus for about 7 months. I've had other things going on. And I don't know much about the symphony, but I'm excited to speak with the maestro and have him educate not only myself, but you guys as well. So, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here, and especially your first time since your hiatus. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm happy to be here, and I hope my listeners haven't forgotten about me. So, how did you get started in the symphony? What drove you that direction?
It was an after-school activity. Many people listening will connect with that. I mean, I was a young kid growing up, moved to Costa Rica with my family, and many parents will relate to this, that they want to keep the kids busy and hopefully out of trouble. And I was no different. The only kind of odd thing is the fact that I come from a non-musical family. Nobody in my immediate family was a musician. And
Right.
but apparently I had a knack for singing when I was at home. And my parents saw an ad on the newspaper that the Youth Symphony of Costa Rica was having, their admission test. So they connected 2 plus 2 and brought me over there, and somebody played the piano and said, "Can you sing this note?" I went, "La, la, 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 and then, can you do this rhythm?" And then I guess it was enough for them to think that I had musical talent. So this was an after-school activity. This is what I did. I mean, after school, and I went to the symphony, played the drums, and played in band and played in orchestra. And like as it happens, that after-school activity became a passion. And here I am, dedicating my life to my hobby.
I love it. That's amazing when you get to do what you love, because there are so many people out there who don't do that, don't have that opportunity, or and here you are, like you've hit the lottery for your life, right?
I really did, and I tell these to my daughters. I have two girls, and I say, I hope that you're as lucky as I've been, because from an early part of my life, I kind of knew what I wanted to do, and I've been fortunate enough that I've been able to pursue it. And as I said, I mean, I get to do my hobby for a living, and I'm beyond grateful and lucky that I get to do that, because to call myself a professional musician is really an honor. And so yeah, as I said, I mean, you never know what these, early on things, early schooling might turn into something more than just a hobby. I mean, it became a way of life.
I love that. So, did I read that you do some student symphony stuff?
Of course. So you have to understand that in order for our art form to continue growing, we have to get people not only interested in it, but at the same time training the next generation of great musicians, not only for the symphony and for symphonic and opera performances, but for all types of music. I mean, you have to understand that nowadays musicians are so versatile. They speak so many musical languages that the era of just playing one type of music, that's too boring. Even for myself, I mean, I love symphonic music, but I listen to heavy metal, I listen to salsa, I listen to
Yes,
tango. So,
absolutely.
absolutely. I mean, if you go to my car, you're going to hear Ozzy Osbourne or Rush, I mean, or Led Zeppelin. That's what you're going to hear.
I
So,
love it.
because the world has gotten so much smaller, this idea that you have musicians just dedicating their lives to something so limited, that's not fun anymore. Even in the symphony, I mean, yes, I do some of the music from 200 years ago, but to give you an example, we have a world premiere coming up next week. Remember, Beethoven had world premieres 200 years ago. So we have to continue. Music is a living organism. We continue evolving. And for me, I have to tell you, it's exciting that I live in Music City. This is a
Yes.
place that champions all genres of music, and to be surrounded by music royalty is just an absolute joy. And you get inspired to work with them and to make music with them.
Yes, absolutely. And actually, I moved. I also live near Nashville in Murfreesboro. And I moved here for the music industry, not to play anything, but just to be involved and work in the music industry. And of course, I don't do that at this time for gainful employment. Mm-hmm. But I moved here with stars in my eyes about the music industry. And I lucked out. My listeners probably know this about me, but I worked for Bart Herbison at Nashville Songwriters Association International for a short time when I got here. And I think because I love music of all genres so much, that was the perfect place for me to be, because I really had the closed idea that Nashville was only country music. And that's just not correct.
That is perhaps the biggest misperception about Nashville, I think.
Yes.
That is no longer the case, not even close.
Right.
Besides, I always tell people, what is country music anymore? I mean, that genre has evolved so much. Yes. Just like classical music has evolved. I mean, to think that music stays just one shape. No, people evolve and you get artists that push the envelope and make you rethink what you thought was standard. And that's what is so great about what we do. I mean, as I said before, music is this constant evolving organism that depends on the listeners, on the artists that we push the envelope.
Sure. I was looking at the schedule, the upcoming schedule at the Skirmerhorn. And I was like, oh my gosh, these things have just not been on my radar, but you guys have an amazing, amazing lineup.
Mm-hmm. We are so proud. We are so proud of the fact that, first of all, we're not your grandfather's symphony.
Not at all.
We're very proud of that, because not only do we have a world-class Grammy Award-winning orchestra, right there in our midst, which is very much what you would expect in a city that calls itself Music City.
Yes, first of course.
The Skirmerhorn Symphony Center, let me put it to you very clearly, is one of the top three concert halls on the face of this earth.
Wow.
Acoustically and beauty, and from the aesthetic of it and the architecture, there's nothing like it. I will be honest with you. Everywhere I go when I'm not in Nashville is a step down for me. So this is what you would expect again in Nashville, a world-class orchestra with a world-class concert hall. But at the same time, we celebrate music. And as much as we play the music of the great masters of the 19th and 20th century, we also collaborate with the artists from our era, from different genres, who combine stuff with the orchestra. We do movies live, where the movie's being played at the symphony place. We do concerts for children. You talked about the youth before, the youth orchestra. Absolutely. You have to generate the love from an early age to expose kids and their families, you know, just the way that I was exposed at some point. All you have to do is bring them over. And this whole idea that the symphony is not for me, well, you've never been. You have to give us a try. You know, I mean, a lot of these misconceptions, like we were talking earlier with the country music, the same applies to classical music. And there is a reason why this music of Beethoven or Mozart has been around for 300 years.
Yes.
There has to be a reason for it. And you know what? It is relevancy. The same things that inspired those people 200 years ago are still very much relevant today in the 21st century. And that's what moves people. That's what makes people love it. I'm in New York right now. I went to the opera last night to see La Traviata. And there I was, almost crying at the end of it. You know what? Because it's a timeless story. A story of love and betrayal and everything that we go to see the movies. But in this case, it's with a live orchestra and live singers. And you get the goosebumps. And in the end, that is the one thing that you could never recreate, even with the greatest stereo equipment in your home. The live performance is unlike anything, because you use all your five senses. And as I said before, and you saw in our season in the Skirmerhorn with the Nashville Symphony, it is so wide in terms of the variety and the eclecticism that they offer, that if you look it up, nationalsymphony.org, there will be something just right for you and will be your first experience to come in and experience it and to say, I am so lucky to live in a town that champions all of this wonderful music.
Yes. And I am very much looking forward to it. I went many years ago, many, many years ago, when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. I think I won tickets to the symphony.
Lucky you.
Yes. Or someone gave them to me, or I don't know, but I'm going to tell on myself here. I felt a little out of my element because I didn't know what to expect. And I made my boyfriend at the time dress up and I wore sequins. Like I went all the way out, right? And I'm diabetic and my blood sugar was messed up during the show. And I got up, I had to get up. I didn't have a choice because of my blood sugar. And I got up to walk out and the conductor turned around at that moment and saw me and said something about it.
And I have never heard of that. And oh my Lord, is he busy enough conducting the band?
I felt
I never, wow, okay.
Yes, I felt so silly and stupid. And I was like, I don't think I can go back in.
You know, like, that is so unfortunate. So you just said something that, you know what, you're not alone in that. When I talk to people about the symphony and that, like you said, I meet people, you know, you made your boyfriend dress up and you were going to this thing that you didn't know what to expect. Sure. You know, that is outdated. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
That is, like I said, that no, that, yes, that may have been the case. That may have been the case 40 years ago. And I've never heard of a conductor doing that, as I said, because I mean, I conduct and I don't have any time to be looking who's out behind me. I mean, I'm trying not to fall off the podium and keep the band together. I mean, I'm sorry. I got a priority of whether somebody stands up or whatever. And by the way, when you have let me put you an example at the Skemmerhorn. We have 1,800 people in the audience.
Yes, it really, truly it would is be, beautiful inside.
It would be naive for me to believe that all 1,800 people don't have what a need to get up and do. Come on, we are human. Yes. That is what gives a live performance. It's the uniqueness. And one night is not the same as the other. And a huge part of it is the audience.
Yes.
Listen, it's not your fault. Come on, you have to live. You're not going to be uncomfortable. Right. You know, and so you just kind of touched a part that for me is one of the reasons why people end up being either afraid or, like you said, I mean, it becomes almost like such a shocking experience that I don't want to do this again. I don't want to be put in the spot. And this is so sad because I'm on the other end trying to build audiences, not freak them out.
Sure.
So I'm going to be honest with you. Last night, as I said, I went to the Metropolitan Opera here in New York.
Sure.
I wore jeans.
Right.
Listen, okay, there are no rules. You go to the Skemmerhorn in Nashville, you're going to run into people not only wearing their nice suits and everything. Come on, everybody has different, you know, on a nice fancy date.
Yes.
But you're going to see young kids. You're going to see college kids on dates. You're going to see a young family with their young kids. You're going to see some of the retirees who this is kind of like their bread and butter. You're going to see, you might run into a couple of guys with their boots and their hats.
I love it. Nashville.
You know why? You're there for the music.
Yes.
You're there to enjoy an experience that you could not get anywhere else. And you know what? I will be the first one to tell you, do you really know that you're going to go to every concert and you're going to love everything that you're going to hear? I mean, how ridiculous is that? I go to hear my favorite bands and some of their songs, I'm like, no, I could do without those. So why do we use the same thing with classical music?
Absolutely.
Some music that you like is because of who you are and where you come from. And stuff that I like is because of where I come from. We're not the same.
Sure.
My wife and I go to, so last night I went to the Met with my daughter who goes to school here.
Okay.
And she's a college student. We went to the opera. And yes, we were sitting next to each other, but we were not at the same concert.
Oh, right.
She was hearing it through her prism and I was hearing it through mine.
Yes.
You know, and the whole performance I thought was very good. There were some moments that kind of lost me. That I was kind of looking, it's like, you know, there's not much going on. I don't know if it's the acting or, I mean, yeah, I am entitled. I paid for my ticket. I am entitled to complain.
Yeah.
But I'm there for the experience. And when I left, I said to myself, you know what? This was a wonderful evening. I spent it with my daughter. We watched this incredible music of and acting in one of the greatest opera houses. And then we went out and had a lovely dinner.
Right.
That is what you need to use these for. And the symphony, like in a place like Nashville, with so many things going on around it, embrace it. You will be pleasantly surprised and realize, you know what? the symphony belongs to you as well.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm excited. You know, I looked things up and I was like, well, gosh, that seems like it would be something really cool to go to.
And okay. I'll give you another example. A part of me, you know, when I do my concerts, before every show, I do a pre-concert lecture.
Do you really?
So if a concert is at 8 o'clock, 1 hour before, it's free and open to the public. 1 hour before, I will talk to the audience and tell them about the program that you're gonna that you're gonna hear. I'll tell you the history behind it. I'll give you a little bit of history, not only with the composer, but what was going on around the time, what inspired him or her to write this music, what were the fears.
Right.
And then you go and listen to it. And perhaps some of the stuff that I said to you, you will connect it to the music.
Right.
Because remember, music is a language. Composers were trying to say something, just as any songwriter is trying to do the same.
Yes.
We are no different.
I love that about music.
Absolutely.
So why I am so passionate about music. You know,
so for me, a huge part of my job is not just waving the little stick. A huge part of my job is, again, educating and making the music relevant for our time and for Nashville. Because remember, Nashville is not New York. And New York is not Vienna. And Vienna, every city has their own energy.
Absolutely.
So my main job is to program for Nashville, for a city that embraces so much music, and to make sure that we remain an important part, just like the Ryman is, and just like Bridgestone, or just like the Titans and the Preds are, you know. We are as big a part of the community as those institutions are as well.
Yes, I agree with you. And I can't remember why I was inside the Skirmerhorn, but it was shortly after it was built. Mm-hmm. And I went in, what you were saying a few moments ago about the inside and the acoustics. And I mean, it is an absolutely phenomenal building and venue. I can see why you place it highly, and you know, it's ranked number 3 in the world.
Yeah.
So
no, I actually said it's in the top 3. In
top
my
three.
Book
it's
number 1.
Okay. Right. Well, top 3. Yeah, it could be number 1.
You we'll know, for that. Me it is, honestly. And it's not just because of the beauty and the but it's also a building for the 21st century. The other two buildings that I consider as good as ours, they were built in the 19th century, so they're a little outdated. The bathrooms need updating, and so does the backstage area. So in our case, ours is a 21st century building.
Sure.
It doesn't look like it when you see it, you know, very traditional, very old school.
Mm-hmm.
But I promise you, our diehard fans, one of the reasons that they keep coming and cheering on our great orchestra is because of the fact that they get to experience and to enjoy music in one of the greatest venues on the face of this earth. And the fact, more importantly, and you can consider yourself a part of that too, all of this is possible because of the community.
Yeah,
it is our community coming together and the generosity of our community, people that buy tickets or make donations that want to make an investment, not only in the symphony, but in Nashville as a whole, and to make sure that Nashville continues to become one of the greatest places to live in the world.
Yes.
So that to me is not just, I mean, it's bigger than all of us. The idea that we made this building just to play notes, no. There is a deeper, and remember when the whole opening 2006, I mean, it was not the downtown that we have now.
Not at all.
When the whole opening 2006, that was it. And there were all these empty lots and empty space and empty warehouses.
Yes.
And look at us now. In many ways, I am so proud of the fact that in many ways, the Skirmerhorn Symphony Center and the National Symphony were kind of the catalyst that got this rebirth of the downtown area. And I'm including, by the way, the whole Broadway area, which has completely changed the experience. I always tell people that Nashville is the only city in the world where you can hear Beethoven and Brahms and walk one block and hear the best bluegrass in the world.
Right.
There is no other city like that.
It's very true. Very true. And I love it. I love that we live in an area where we can just go downtown and just walk. And I always have felt like, compared to other cities in which I've lived, that Nashville is safe.
Mm-hmm.
Like I never have fear when I'm down there. And the music is fantastic. And mm-hmm. even if people can't go into the Skirmerhorn at, you know, on their trip, during their trip, maybe, you know, just go by and see the building.
Absolutely. It's, and it's as you said, it's very easy. Go on the website, yes. nationalsymphony.org. And yeah, we do more than just your standard classical music. We do it all. Right. In the greatest seating with one of the greatest setting with one of the greatest orchestras. And although, as you will agree, the downtown area has become a little crazy, but like that happens with any growing community. And I'm sure it's all going to settle down. But I love the energy that all of these different constituencies bring. You know, yeah. when the symphony is finishing a concert, we're coming out of the Skirmerhorn, and at the same time, some show across the street at Bridgestone, maybe the AC/DC just play there, and then across right. the river, right. you know, the Titans right. are finishing one of their games, and then of course you have the whole crowd from the honky tonk, and all of us yeah. converging these three block radius is absolutely yes. unique, and I think it's what makes Nashville so special, and I'm very proud. I mean, this has been my home now for 14 years.
Oh wow! Yeah. I've been here just a little longer than you have, but not by much. I think I'm nearing the 20-year mark of being in the area.
So I'm very, very proud. And for those who, as I said, that like yourself, that may not have had the symphony on the radar, I encourage you, you know, and please, when you come to a concert, let me know. I'll give you the VIP tour and I want to hear all about it. Give me the full review. Because we want to constantly make sure that we are seem accessible. You know, if I hear that somehow we are doing something unwittingly that may be turning people off, please tell me, because we're all about accessibility. We're all about making people feel like this belongs to you as well. That you that you will find in our programming something that will attract you. And once you step in, you won't be able to leave. You will want to come back over and over because, as I said, you would have exposed yourself to something that you perhaps didn't know was there. And all of a sudden, it was going to be the greatest gift you're ever going to have.
I love that. I look forward to that.
Absolutely. And I mean that. Do reach out to me. Yes, I will make sure we give you the full VIP treatment as you deserve. And we do that with all of our audience members. We want to make sure that they come in and they feel proud of their symphony.
Right. Well, I am going to do that. I had planned, actually, when I was looking through the upcoming schedule, I was like, I'm going to make a point to go and do this because I think it will be amazing. Yeah.
And why not dress up, look, you know, come out and make an evening of it. Nothing wrong with it. But
maybe
if you know what, if you
just happen to this time,
if you listen, and if you happen to have, if you need to get up, you need to get up, you know, right. Come on. I mean, listen, as I said, when we have all these many audience members at any show, come on. I mean, we all have lives. And if you just came out of the office and you didn't have time to go home and change, fine. That works too.
Sure.
Listen, I mean, as I said, for me, you're there for the music, period. Yes. And as I said, anything that you can do to enhance that experience, it's all going to be for your own, you know, positive growth and enhancement.
Sure. So which is your, maybe not your favorite, maybe your favorite, what's your favorite instrument? What did you pick up easily and you love it?
Well, you have to remember that when I started, like most kids, I had to play an instrument in orchestra and in band. So for me, I was a percussionist. I was in the back of the band with the drums. Yes. And making fun of conductors, by the way, which I miss terribly. And, you know, we're rambunctious, we're loud. And I loved anything that you made noises with. And of course, I played the drums and I played the snare drum and the bass drum and the xylophone and the vibraphone. And by the way, I came to school at Baylor University in Waco, Texas from Costa Rica. I didn't speak any English. And my teacher, and listen, going from Costa Rica to Waco, Texas in the 80s was like going from Earth to Pluto. Culturally, it was
absolutely
a shock. And nobody warned me about the summers in August, how hot it could get. In any case, my percussion teacher was an absolute genius because he said, how do I get this young Costa Rican, first of all, to learn English?
Sure.
And more importantly, make friends. You know, I mean, I'm just moving in. So you know what he did? He strapped a snare drum on me and threw me onto the football field, made me join the marching band.
Oh, my.
Which was great. And by the way, by the end of the week, my English was so fluent and I had, you know, 300 friends. And I knew all the bad words, by the way, which is the first thing you learn.
Hey.
But here was a little problem. Coming from Costa Rica, I had never been in a football field before.
Oh.
So when they said, drumline, go to the 20-yard line.
You're like, huh?
And I remember this vividly, looking at some one side and saying, looking at one kid next to me, like, where's that? And he started laughing. And he said, you see that 20 over there? That's the 20-yard line. I'm like, okay, but there's a 20 over there too. So for the first week or month, I kept running into the piccolo and the tuba and everything. But eventually I figured it out. But yes, I mean, as I said, anything that had to do with making music and making noises, I welcomed it. And I miss playing terribly. I miss the camaraderie of being in an ensemble, you know.
Right.
Conducting can be a very lonely profession, but I like most kids that play either the violin or the clarinet or the piano, you know, it's again something that you do after school as a hobby. And some of us go into it. And here's the best part. Many of those kids end up becoming lawyers or doctors or receptionists or whatever, but they have music in their soul.
Yes.
And how many people come to me and say, oh, you know what? Well, you know why I go to the symphony? Because back in the day, my grandmother used to take me or my father gave me a guitar or this, and or I played trumpet in jazz band in middle school.
Right.
And they never left it. It's still in their DNA. And they want to share that with their own kids. So you have to remember that this is the reason why we support the education part of the National Symphony. We have the Accelerando program, which it hopes to expose kids in minorities that normally don't have access to this. Mm-hmm. It's a huge part because remember, listen, I'm from Costa Rica and Nicaragua. You know, yeah, as I say it, the meccas of classical music. And look at me now.
Sure.
You know, and it's because at some point I was exposed to it. So it is now our biggest responsibility to educate not only the children, but also adults, people to say, listen, this is for you too. If you open your mind and you open your heart, you're going to find out something that you're just going to embrace so much the way that I was exposed to it. But in so many ways, like yourself, you had music at some point in your life. And although you're not doing it as a way of work, you still love it.
Sure.
You know, because at some point you were exposed to it. And you know what? I always say this with the young kids, you know what? Give a kid a violin and you give them a purpose.
Yes.
You know,
I agree.
Absolutely. You give even the most and you give them a personality and they become masters of their own, you know, with that piano or that guitar or that triangle, whatever. And it's amazing. So for me, it goes deeper than just playing a bunch of notes. It has to have a larger meaning. Mm-hmm. So that is the reason why we go to performances, to be moved, to be inspired.
Absolutely. And I think for me, I have a lot of musician friends, but like I said earlier, I don't play any instruments at all. In my head, I play a mean air guitar.
Oh, I am. Listen, so do I. I play a mean air drums when I'm driving. And on I-65, I have to admit, I have to be careful with that. But yes, we all do that.
But that my love and my passion for, I think my love and passion for music is involved in, it's the different components of the project or the piece for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I always think about, well, you know, you had a producer who touched that. You had, you know, somebody who came up with the idea. In a lot of music, you've got the lyrics, you've got the musical composition. I'm always thinking about the puzzle that makes the project the masterpiece that's released. And that's why I went this direction with my podcast. It started with an idea. My previous co-host, who is on a musical hiatus himself, suggested we start the podcast. And I was like, well, what would we talk about? And we decided music and entertainment, those are our loves. And so mm-hmm. this is how I stay in touch mm-hmm. with the music industry, with people who do music mm-hmm. and bring their creativity and their light to the universe for people to hear and for their souls to be soothed, mm-hmm. you know?
Absolutely. And I'm sure that you found over the years, doesn't matter what type of music we do, we're very similar, you know?
Yes.
We're all, you know, musicians, as I said, we are a very temperamental bunch in a very positive way, you know,
right?
In most of the cases, because we are passionate, that it's kind of embedded into our, you know, work description. And we fight for it. We cry for it. We get angry for it. And come on, try to get, you know, three musicians to agree on anything. I mean, imagine having 100 of them in an orchestra right. or in a studio band. Sure. And that is the part where the negotiations come in, the part where the personalities come in. And imagine, translate this into middle school kids or elementary school kids, learning those traits from that early age. You know, yes. I find it absolutely remarkable that music allows us to do this because of the passion that we put into it, you know. Right. For me, being around great musicians, it's the greatest thing on earth because it is the most inspiring thing. Just listen to them talk and listen to them share with their generosity what is that moves them. And then you go home and you take that with you, and all of a sudden you realize you're a 10 times better musician just by being around that person. Yes. And it is absolutely remarkable. And translate to the audience as well. How many shows you go to, regardless, and you go home truly, truly inspired. And you don't even know why. And that's the mystery of it. I mean, it's a beautiful mystery that doesn't need to be explained, but we know what it feels like.
Yeah. And I think that's what we go for.
The experience.
The feeling.
Exactly that.
The connection.
Absolutely. That is what you go.
The connection with other people, the connection with the performers.
Absolutely. Which, as I said, even with the greatest of stereo system, that cannot be recreated.
It cannot. You're correct.
Unless you're in a live performance. And in the case of the Skemmerhorn, a great venue even enhances that 10 times over.
Yes. So, well, I typically don't take very much of your time to interview you. And so I'm going to do the same today, but I'm really hoping you will consider coming back on my show maybe in a few months and after I've been to the symphony.
Why don't we plan on that? Let's go ahead and do that. And I mean that. I totally commit to that. Please, over the next few weeks or check out the symphony, go to a performance, and then let's reconnect and tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. Tell me all about it.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, hopefully you'll find a date when I'm actually conducting. We'll make it even better. So you'll make a review that I'm the one conducting.
Yes.
You know, and then you're going to tell everybody else what you saw, you know?
Yes, I will. I promise.
Absolutely. So, count on it. I'm more than happy to do that. And as I said, it's a great honor. And I'm always privileged to get a chance to speak about the symphony.
Absolutely.
Because I love to, if even one or two people that are listening to this take the plunge and say, you know what, that guy sounds like, you know, like he's making sense, I'm going to go to the symphony. To me, I've done it. I'm in the business of growing our art form and to make people realize that, you know what, give us a chance. You know, don't go by old stereotypes. No, this is not your great grandfather's symphony. This is the fact that you're going to run into people that have the same passion as you. It's going to be not only incredibly surprising, but fulfilling.
Absolutely. Well, I look forward to it. If there is anything, any upcoming projects or a website or social media that you would like to give out, you're welcome.
Check out the Nashville Symphony website, nashvillesymphony.org. All of our concerts are there. As I said, you're going to find something in there that will pique your curiosity. And I look forward to hearing all about it.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you so much for your time. And listeners, go check out the symphony. You should definitely do that. I'm going to, so you should too. Y'all have a great day. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.